is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good afternoon, and this is the happy hour here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk all day. This is DeAndre Cartwright. I'm so happy that you joined me today for this episode of the happy hour. Now, for those of you who are just tuning in for the very first time to this particular radio show, it's all about the goodness. It's all about optimism. It's all about positivity. In talk radio, we tend to hear a lot about the bad things happening, negativity, pessimism, that sort of thing, you know, it's harsh reality. But we thought that we should just have a dedicated time just to talk about goodness, some feel-good opportunities in our life that we can share with others so we can actually feel good, to actually know that there's goodness happening all around us. So with that being said, with this being a new year as well, I'm just renewing my invitation to those persons in the community, individuals. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. It doesn't matter where you are either, because we can do this virtually. We want to hear from you. We want to make sure that we can get this good news out to more persons. You can also be an organization, community service-minded, faith-based if you wish, just doing goodness inside the community. What we want to do today, while we wait on our guests, unfortunately, and if you follow our socials, you know, we were supposed to have Vanessa Bethel from the Organization for Responsible Governance come in to talk to us a bit today about the Map for Good project that ORG is undertaking right now. But unfortunately, she's not able to join us. We'll have her again in the future. But we will be joined later on in the show by Taran Sims, who is one of the most powerful voices in the conservation space. And knowing that our country, and we see what's happening over in Los Angeles right now, what's going on with the wildfires and the blazes that are ravaging everybody's homes in that area, climate change is happening. Climate change is real. So we want to talk a little bit more about how we can help those efforts. So that's coming on later in the show. But what I want to do right now is introduce a new part of the happy hour. And we're going to open this up to the phone lines, to our text lines as well. And I'm going to have the links on Twitter, now X, as well as our Instagram pages throughout the week, where we want to hear those feel-good stories from you. Those moments of brightness and sunshine that you've experienced through the week, so that we can share those with our listeners. Because sometimes we just want to know that there's goodness happening somewhere else. Maybe it didn't happen to us, but it happened to someone, and that just lightens our heart to know that at least somebody is experiencing a good day while we may not. Because I know it sounds cliche, but the storm does end. There's a rainbow at the end of it. There's going to be sunshine eventually. But sometimes we just want to hear encouragement. We want to hear some motivation, some inspiration. And so we're going to start that with the happy hour for this year. We want to hear from those persons around the community. Even if you don't want to come on the show, you can just let us know what you're doing and we can read it out for you. And I used to do something similar to this with the eye opener. Those of you who may recognize my voice, we had started that back in 2012. And it was from persons around the country, just telling us what they thought about certain things, and we shared those on air. So I'm going to take another variation of that for the happy hour, where we're sharing the goodness that's going on so that we can get the word out there. And remember, it doesn't matter where you are, because with technology, we can capture you. What I want to highlight before we get into, we're going to have some happy stories that we're going to read on air. I just actually came from, we had the folks on from the National Commission for the for Persons with Disabilities last week, Saturday, along with folks from the Four Seasons Tourist Management entity, come on last week to talk about their Miracle Miles event that took place today. Literally, it's just wrapping up. Hence the reason I'm just a tad bit late today. But yeah, so they had four of the children from the Bahamas Association for the Physically Disabled out there today for the walk, which was also a fundraiser in action, real time. So, and of course, we have some time, so I can go into depth as to what happened, because I think we need to know, and I know that this show is more about happiness and whatnot, but in order for us to be happy, we need to actually, you know what's going on. And so I really want to draw attention, and it's not that, I don't want to say that this is a sad moment, but I really wish there were more persons from the media present at this event. I think I was the only person out there. Now, to be fair, I'm not sure how much coverage it got, but I mean, some of us have been highlighting the event itself, but to have persons in our community who are trying to help themselves and others are trying to help them. And the only how to get it out there is to, and I can't say that I saw, and maybe if you were there, I just didn't see you. But there were no folks from the traditional media, and there were no folks from social media, as in the influencers. And I know we've gotten to the point where people would like to get paid, and yes, we have bills to pay. But for causes such as children with physical disabilities, I just would have hoped there would have been more coverage of it. Now, I'm going to share the photos and the videos that I took along my own socials and whatnot like that, and help them along with a press release of some kind. But I just think that, you know, we recognize the issues that we have in society, but we tend to wait for other people to make the change, to make the difference, to do the work. But it's, you can help out very simply by your presence, by supporting, by sharing information. And it starts with you, really. It starts with each one of us trying to do our small part, because with many small efforts, you build a big cause, right? So going back to what happened this morning, and they started at 10 a.m. because, of course, you know, races usually began a little bit earlier, but we're dealing with children. So only four of the 20 children of the Association of the Physically Disabled were able to make it because of transportation issues. So that's one thing right there that I want to touch on, because there was somebody on site, and they were asking, you know, because there was a delay in getting the kids there, what was going on. And I reminded them that BAPD has, I believe, one coaster bus. And it's not an updated bus either. They have one coaster bus. And considering the size of the wheelchairs that the kids are using, you can't fit that many persons onto a bus. So that's first thing. You have to look at transport. Then you have to actually look at support coming from the families. You have to look at support coming from the communities. We actually understand. But it's great that you ask questions so that we can talk a little bit more about what's going on and how we can definitely help. And that's what happened this morning. So another kudos out to Four Seasons Race Management for sponsoring that along with J.S. Johnson. So you had quite a few persons show up, not as much as that I really would have hoped. So you have to forgive me if I'm not as happy as I could be today, because it's cause that's near and dear to my heart. And I would love to see more persons involved. You have the Bahamas Association for the Physically Disabled. You have the National Commission for Persons with Disabilities. You have several entities that exist to help our fellow Bahamians, our children, our adults with disabilities. And again, no effort is too small or grand. Just we should be helping out in some way, I think. So they started off at Clifford Park, you know, where the driving lessons usually take place. And there was a march. Really, because you're not going to race, right? So there was a march down from Clifford onto Bay Street, just by Junkanoo Beach, and through downtown Rawson Square for a bit. And we were getting attention from tourists and Bahamians alike. There were a donation of a few dollars, which I'm hoping we raised a significant sum. So that kind of, I saw that happening, so I was pretty happy that there was some persons giving. But you will see from the videos, because I also want to do it as a social experiment, you'll see it as a videos of how many cars had their windows turned up at people asking you to help them in a legal manner, by the way. So it was quite, again, I cannot control my ability to not be as happy as I usually am, because it was quite sad to see, actually. But thank you to those who actually donated. I also want to highlight Mr. Oscar Dames, education extraordinaire, who most people would know as one of the premier music teachers that this nation has ever seen. He is formerly with C.R. Walker, the home of the Knights, because to be a knight, you know, is the only way. He was actually out there with his band, Bahamas United, and those kids are, you know, learning how to play their instruments, learning how to perform. They had a dancing section, choreography section again as well. I believe that those the girls are involved as flagettes. And then you had a full-on band, marching band experience within the march, the parade, really. I heard some whispers from the crowd trying to say that it sounded like the Saxons was on Bay Street and whatnot, and those children were really happy to hear those comparisons. But it was a great thing to behold, where you had the young people supporting their fellow young people with physical disabilities. You had folks with autism out on the walk too. And just a shout out to Reach, because I believe April is coming up. You want to mark your calendars for the walk that they usually have. They usually have a few events. You want to look out for those, but they usually also have a walk in April. And we want to support those persons and their efforts, because they, you know, help out with education. They help out with guidance for parents with children with autism. And they also provide guidance for adults living with autism. So we really want to support these entities that are trying to do good in the community. So we went through downtown. We walked through, I think that was Parliament Street, to get back up onto Shirley. And then we went back through past Christchurch Cathedral and then back onto Bay Street. So it was a pretty successful walk, I think. All of our children did well. We took water breaks and stops along the way for them to catch themselves or whatnot. I think it went well, relatively. And then I left them down at Clifford Park to come here to come on the air so I can talk to the Bahamian people who may be tuned in. Oh, and I am so sorry, I didn't even say if you can call in. You can definitely call us. That's 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. You can call us toll-free at 300-5720. You can also text us at 422-4796. That's 422-4796. And with that, I think we can also just say, you know, those phone lines are open, the text lines are open. What was your feel-good moment this week? What was something that made you happy? What is a spot of sunshine that occurred for you this week, or that you saw with others that occurred this week that you may want to share with the listening audience? So I am currently just going to look through to see if I can share some feel-good stories that are happening around the world. And, you know, there's actually I like this one. There's actually a plan to have a mental health plan with hippos involved, apparently, to show, to highlight mental health and what's going on with the hippos. Then they also have, goodness, they have a guac stock and Christmas talk. Interesting. A little after Christmas, I think. Oh, this is a good one. I like this right here. And we did have the folks on talking about the upcoming. So this is another one that's happening in Australia, where they're actually going to be having a race with dogs driving little cars. Can you imagine? I think that would be so hilarious to see. And I think they're calling it their feel-good ball. Yeah. So I also want to give a shout-out to something that's happening next week, Saturday, while I remember. The Department of Health has a wellness unit. So they're going to be having what they call Move Bahamas. So what Move Bahamas is trying to do right now is have something every month They're having a fun run walk. And I know we're all looking for different things to do to get us in the mood, get us in shape. And so we really want to shout out the wellness unit over there at the Ministry of Health that's trying to get things off the ground. So next week, Saturday at 5:30, right over there at Awaki, they're going to have a fun run walk and health fair. So you can register for it. Also, they're going to have, they did this on Thursday. Some interesting times that they actually do these things. They had a nature walk. And then the 5K that they're going to have next Saturday, just to say they're going to be free health screening. There's going to be a free giveaway. There are going to be multiple wellness vendors. There's also going to be live entertainment and a kitty corner. So if you don't make it out directly for the 5:30, they're also going to have registration at 6, so you can catch up with them there. They also have the links on their Facebook page, so you can sign up there. Their flyer has their QR code. I think what they had done, and we should have mentioned this when we had the Junkanoo groups on, they actually had a Junkanoo health screening and wellness expo. So they did it over a couple of days. Because I think that's another aspect, and we did mention that on the morning blend this week, actually, talking about the state of health of our Junkanooers and if they actually take care of themselves and if they watch themselves and just really how much is required to take part in Junkanoo. So what the wellness unit did is that on December 17th, they actually did the screening with Genesis. On the 18th, they did it with Roots. On the 19th, they did it with One Family. They also did Saxons on the same day. They did the Valley Boys, the Way Forward. They did both Valley Boys groups. So Valley Boys, the Way Forward was on the 19th as well. And then the Valley Boys, no other language there, was also on the 19th. So all the major groups had an opportunity to be screened. I think that's fantastic. And then what they did at the end of November, and this is for the Defense Force Rangers and the police cadets, they actually did an obstacle course, which was designed to push the limits and inspire camaraderie as the participants tackled a series of demanding physical feats. So they also had a health education and wellness expo for the children where they learned about nutrition basics and the importance of balanced living, tying physical and educational aspects of the day together seamlessly. So the young people were not only left stronger, but also smarter about their health. These things are happening all around. And then, they're doing great work. I just wish more people knew about it. Something in Tall Pines, and that was back, that was also in November. They had a Zumba night as well. They did a midday mastery session back in November as well on diabetes. You can follow their Facebook page to find out more about that. While we're talking about wellness activities, I wanted to draw attention, and this is far in advance, I fancy, but the Cancer Society of the Bahamas is having their, I don't know if you want to call it a fun run walk because it's quite competitive actually, their event, Strides for Life, is happening on the 22nd of February. And so with that particular event, and you can register online, it's on their website. So that's cancersocietybahamas.org/stride-for-life-2025-registration/. So you want to, this is their blurb, register and prepare yourself for the electrifying, adrenaline-pumping excitement that awaits you at this year's Stride for Life, which will begin at the Cancer Society grounds on Saturday, the 22nd of February at 6 a.m. Hundreds of other enthusiastic participants as you journey through the beautiful streets of Nassau, taking in the beauty of the colorful architecture and scenic coastline that help make it one of the world's most charming cities. If you know a cancer survivor, you can honor them by ordering one of our cancer survivors commemorative yard signs. You can order on our website or by calling 323-441-4441. So early registration costs, because, you know, we want to support, but if we can save a dollar, that's great. Early registration costs, children under 12 is $25. Adults that are walkers and runners is $35. And those who are doing the 10K, which is about 6.2 miles, that's $40. And I will say that for as a runner, you usually get finisher's medals, and then the t-shirts are quite cute as well, if that's what you're into, to collecting, of course. But the cause is a great one, so we want to give back. There are quite a few things that are happening in February. I must also give a shout out. Red Cross is having their ball on the 25th. So if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, you want to try support the Bahamas Red Cross. They do so much for our people, not only during times, but they have a weekly meal program for those who cannot manage on their own that we want to support. They have a thrift shop. I'm not sure if it's an outright shop, but they have clothes available for those who may need it as well. So we want to help the Red Cross with that. So that's happening on the 25th of January. And then we fast forward just a little bit. The Heart Foundation is having their ball on the 15th of February. And if you don't know about the Heart Foundation, that's the Sir Victor Sassoon Heart Foundation. They have an annual ball, and most, if not all, of the proceeds go straight to funding surgeries for our children in this country that have heart issues. We have a number of Bahamians who have benefited from this that are still with us because of the efforts of the Heart Foundation. So if you can please support, check them out, call them up, get a ticket, or donate however you could. There's another one that's happening, and I'm assuming it's for the, I believe it's supposed to be for education. I'm still a little bit, need a little bit more information. That's the Doctors Hospital Meyer Rassen Foundation. They're also having a ball in February. So we want to maybe hear a bit more about that. But that's also happening in February. And yes, I'm running us through what's going on during the weekend so we can mark our calendars. And I can't let it go without mentioning the Bahamas Kidney Association. So this is happening on the first Saturday of March. You know, we're at the beginning of our year. We want to try and chart out what exactly we want to do for 2025. And I know a lot of persons, we tend to have our resolutions, our goals, our promises around fitness and supporting the community and getting involved. And so I'm hoping that some of the information I'm sharing with you this morning will be helpful on how you can get involved and what fitness activities you can do. And usually they're for causes. So the Bahamas Kidney Association, their Fun Run Walk is happening on the 1st of March, which is a Saturday. It'll start at 6 o'clock. So you want to try and register for that as well. You still have some time. And then you have the Pops Island Move. That's happening on the 8th of March. That actually supports the Sickle Cell Association of the Bahamas. So you want to try and support Pop, who is well known in the running community as well, with these efforts. Because, again, you're getting to move your body. You also get your running pack, which has a t-shirt. And if you finish the race, you also get a medal in most cases. But your money that you're paying for registration, portion proceeds of these things usually go to these causes, such as the Sickle Cell Association. So we want to see how we can support these activities that are coming up. And I think that's all that I have for February and March. If you know of any events, please let me know so that we highlight those on our Facebook page. I also want to give a shout out for the Holistic Lifestyles Fun Run Walk that happened yesterday. Yes, on a holiday. On a holiday, there was a fun run walk and a health expo that was coming up that actually happened on a holiday, on the majority rule, right over there at Goodman's Bay. So that was fantastic. So just giving a shout out there. We're going to go to our break. Don't leave me. I know it's not the usual, but stay with me. We should have a surprise on the other end of the break. This is the happy hour.
celebrate the flavors of the holidays with Fresh Market. At Christmas and all year round, we do fresh best. Find everything for holiday recipes with a colorful twist. Looking to spend less time in the kitchen? Order your festive turkey, seasoned and cooked to a golden perfection. We even have the perfect gift for that foodie in your life. A Fresh Market gift card. Fresh Market, helping you create meals that are the...
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video streams. Select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
Here's a price list of some of the roofing material we carry at Pinda Enterprises. 5/8 pressure treated roofing ply starting at $36.68. Gray Select Water Shield, 134/20 a rule. Felt, 15 pounds, $16.50, 30 pounds, $19.80. Owens, Corning Duration Shingles, and CertainTeed Landmark Shingles, $56.56 a bundle. Gallon of roof cement, $33.47. All sizes treated dimensional lumber. And of course, we have all nails and all screws. We have 5/8 sheetrock, $28.76, half inch sheetrock, new divide.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps all at lightning-fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected, live your life. It's good to be alive.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We're back here on Guardian Radio 96.9. This is the happy hour. I am Deandra Cartwright. Thank you so much for staying with us. Or if you're just tuning in, thank you for joining us. Remember, you can come into the conversation. You can come into the conversation over the telephone lines. That's 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. Toll free 300-5720. We know our folks from Long Island, of course, because that's where I'm from, so people can listen. Y'all can call in toll-free if you want or continue to text me. And you can also do that at 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Don't forget to follow our socials. That's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, now known as X. That's the happy hour. You should also follow Guardian Radio if you haven't already done that. So with that being said, and thank you all, I'm going to try post the dates for all of those events that are happening onto the Facebook page so you can follow those things up, because you want to be involved as much as you can this year. You know, give back just a little, just a teensy, teensy, tiny bit. Every effort counts. Joining me now, I did say we're going to have a surprise on the other end of the break, is Mr. Taran Sims. Taran is a, well, I might as well just say it, he's a friend of mine. a very, very good friend. my best friend, for those who know, I must say that. In the professionally, he's been in the sustainability, conservation, environmentalist spaces for well over a decade, going on two at this point. He is one of the leading voices on sustainable tourism. He has many degrees. I feel like he wants an alphabet behind his name. But he has represented us at conferences around the world. He is a lecturer. He is a philanthropist. He's an advocate. He is known in these spaces for talking about these things that impact us as a people, because we, as a small island developing state, we live this on the daily. Not only are we a small island developing state, we are also one that is dependent on tourism as our number one industry. But what does it mean to have sustainable tourism? So in this half of the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about what does that mean for the thing that is our bread and butter. What are we doing? What could we do better? And how can the average Bahamian, who may or may not have a direct linkage to tourism, how can we help out? What could we do? So Taran, with that, hi. Welcome to the happy hour.
Thank you, DeAndre.
I'm Jess,
your best friend.
Thank you. Thank you. Say it again.
It's been... How long, Dee? How long have we been friends?
From high school. So, you know, we don't want to date ourselves per se, but it's been well over 20 years at this point.
20 years. And one thing I can say, for me and DeAndre, when it comes to Acarez, we probably focus on Acarez from high school.
Yeah, from a long time, so. Honestly. I think, you know, for those who are tuning in, when you hear me talking about volunteerism and community service, Taran and I literally have been doing this since we have been children.
Yeah,
I think that's why we're so passionate about it, because we see the positive impact. We are beneficiaries of positive impact. And that's a part of the reason, I think, how you got into sustainability and tourism, I think.
Yep, and that's what I was going to go into about passion. You know, when we look at the fields that we decided to go into, the very rare and very niche fields, not big money.
definitely, there's no money in human rights, guys. It's passion projects.
And we know when we look at the development of environmentalism, it came from, you know, a structure where those people who went into the field, they necessarily, you know, had a background that allowed them to come to go into the field and not worry about money and, you know, focus on passion. And so passion is what really what drove me into actually getting into sustainable tourism. I always tell people the story. I used to go to Ragged Island every summer with some friends. I would go on a mail boat because no planes would go there at one point. We would take a two-day mailboat trip down to the Exuma Keys, and we would park off a key in Ragged Island because the boat couldn't get into the harbor.
My
friend's grandmom would come out in her boat, pick us up, and we'll have a month of, you know, adventures, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Adventures that people actually paid to come and do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that trickled into my passion about how do we look at tourism and, you know, make it focus more on people, place, and planet. When I first started the University of the Bahamas, well, the then College of the Bahamas.
Yes.
I'm a proud graduate of COB, December 13. When I went there, I decided to study tourism business. And, you know, the dream was to be the next GM for a big hotel. But that got quickly changed when I stumbled upon a workshop about a small island sustainability program, which was multidisciplinary. So you studied environmental studies, but you also studied at a cognate school. So my school was the tourism school. And I pretty much one of the first students in that program. There's two of us.
Powerful.
And we had to create what we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, in my mind was, how do I come into this space to make a difference, mm-hmm. to develop a framework that shifts the paradigm of tourism from being so foreign direct investment focused, but rather how do we build human capital to create ownership within the sector. So taking tourism and using it as a tool for conservation, and conservation that looks out for people, place, planet, right? The social, economic, and environmental welfare of the local community. And the journey has been amazing, you know, helping to create meaningful impact within the sector, helping to shift the focus of the sector that's more on our people. Mm-hmm. And so in 2014, I made the brave decision to leave the island of New Providence, and I went to Andres. And, you know, that's kind of strange, right? Who moved from the capital to a rural island? And so I did that before I went to grad school. Went to grad school, and even in grad school, my focus still was rural areas. So I looked at work. I worked in a place called Tarija in Bolivia, a small little town that needed somebody to come in and develop a tourism market for them, a holistic roadmap to sustainable tourism. Mm-hmm. And I worked with a consultancy company there. When I came back home, I went to school in Madrid, I stayed in Nassau for one day, and went back to Andres. And that trickled into a career of working in ecotourism, working with the Ministry of Tourism in Andres. I got hired to develop a sustainable fly fishing certification with some consultants. I then trickled into tourism and climate change, where I attended a number of meetings. Everybody knows about COP now. So attending COP, and even at COP now, we see tourism is pushing for a more responsible market, right? 5% of all of the overall gas emissions come from the tourism sector. And the United Nations World Tourism Organization is working with the private sector to see how can we help them sign on to what we call the Glasgow Pact for climate action in tourism. And so we're looking at working with companies to decrease their carbon emissions. And we also look at the evolution of aviation fuel. You know, sustainable aviation fuel is a big thing now because we love to travel.
Yes. Right.
So we live in a society and we live in a country that is highly dependent on tourism. So it is essential that we develop a sector that focuses on our people. How do we empower our people to be the owners? And how do we protect our environment? Mm-hmm. And how do we incorporate our social elements through culture?
Now, that's very powerful. I think, you know, growing up, I think we are exposed to the Bahamian dream. It used to be tourism. You got a job at the hotel. And that was about it. Now we're seeing more at a granular level, what is the impact of tourism? What is our individual impact within tourism? But then also, how is tourism impacting our country? But how can it more positively impact our country? Because again, you're talking about carbon emissions. We're a small country. Compared to some other countries, our emissions are negligible. And this is where carbon credits come in. But then also, we need to talk more about why is it our business? Until we fully diversify the economy, tourism is our number one industry. And so it's, but do we truly have an appreciation for it and all of its different elements? You mentioned going over to Andres to work. You know, tourism on a family island can look completely different than what tourism here on the capital island looks like. And I know your experience in that area, I wonder, how does that look? For somebody who's on New Providence, can you tell us just a little bit more about how does the tourism product look for somebody on Andros?
So when we look at the Bahamas Tourism product, we have a very unique and diverse product. We have an archipelago. We have more than one destination and one destination. And I think that's something we can capitalize on to give us what we call a unique selling factor against our competitors in the Caribbean. When we look at tourism growth numbers today, we see that numbers in Jamaica, Cuba, Dominican Republic, they're growing much faster than our own. Mm-hmm. And that's normal when we look at a product life cycle. Our product is the oldest tourism product in the region and recycling out of right now. And when we look at the emergence of the new type of tourists, the boomers and the Xs, they wanted to be in what we consider an environmental bubble. So they wanted to travel away from their local environment, but still experience it. So they, you know, somebody coming from New York to one in McDonald's when they travel. But when we look at the advent of the new age traveler, the millennials, we cherish experiences, authenticity. We want to know that the dollars being spent is going to the local community and also to something that is social and environmentally good. And so our family islands are the key. They have the potential to offer the tourists what they want, the new age tourists. Mm-hmm. They are in depth in authenticity. They're also in depth. And when we look at one of the things I focus on at the Ministry of Tourism was fly fishing. Why I really love the fly fishing sector. When you look at the fly fishermen, they have been able to really conserve the fly fishing sector for Bahamians. It's been written in legislation that the fly fishing in the Bahamas has to be guided by a Bahamian. Mm-hmm. They're also written in the legislation, looks at permitting, and sort of permits are paid, and that money is then placed into a conservation fund for future development of the industry. Mm-hmm. And also looks at protecting mangroves, because as you all know, with no mangroves, there are no fly fishing species. Mm-hmm. Deandra, what are the species? Can you tell me? You're from Long Island. You should know.
Red, black.
Red.
Mangroves.
No, I'm talking about.
Oh, fish.
What did they come to fish for?
Bonefish.
What else?
Primarily.
Uh-huh. What are the secondary and third?
Oh, no, sorry. I bias. I just go for the bonefish.
So bonefish is number one. Give it up a D.
Yay!
But then you also got permit and tapin.
Yeah.
What we call angler fish. And so that industry makes up for only 4% of the overall arrivals, but 14 to 70% of the overall expenditure. And when we look at that expenditure being made from that sector, it's mostly for Bahamians, because the lodges are owned by Bahamians, the guides are Bahamians. So we're retaining that money in our economy for future development. And so when we look at that type of guest, we notice that they have a higher purchasing power than somebody coming to Atlantis or Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And it tells us that, I always tell people, I don't care about the 7 million tourists.
Right.
Don't tell me about the 7 million tourists if 5 million of those tourists are coming from the cruise ship ports. Mm-hmm. And research shows us that they're spending less than $100 in port.
That was literally inside the papers again last week.
Yep.
So listening to this and how it impacts the local economy on our family islands, it's talking about how can the family islands be more self-sustaining. And that's how they need to have more direct investment through tourism. And that's not coming from our cruise ship folks.
Exactly. And the SOPO visitors are acting for it, right? Mm-hmm. They want to do tours with, they want to have tours with locals. And we have market research that tells us, there was research done in 2018 by Euro Monitoring, commissioned by the Caribbean Tourism Organization. And we see that American visitors are willing to pay $150 for a tour conducted by a local. Mm-hmm. They're also willing to pay up to $200 for a food tour in somebody's kitchen. Mm-hmm. We have people who also, they're looking to pay up to $100 for a local cuisine. And I always tell people,
because they want that authenticity.
Exactly.
They come here to see our country.
And they want to be immersed into the culture.
Exactly, the culture.
And so one of the things I've been recently up to is looking at community-based tourism development. So I recently wrapped up a project in Eleuthera with local entrepreneurs in farming. I'm going through this marketing skills, and there was a toolkit developed called the Community-Based Tourism Toolkit for the Caribbean that I was trained in back in 2018. And how do we empower local communities to actually own the sector and also get into industries where it's low capital entry, right? For example, kayaking tours. Mm-hmm. You can get up to $200 for a kayaking tour. For 5 kayaks, you could probably get for $4,000 or less. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at the capital needed to entry, it's low, but the yield is large. And the tourists are coming and asking for these type of experiences. And so that project got wrapped up. I'm in talks for another project. Mm-hmm. And all of this is a part of a bigger picture of, we're talking about the blue economy, right? Mm-hmm. So looking at the blue economy and how do we harness the economic potential sustainably from the blue economy to empower our local communities.
Now that's just very powerful. And I think you highlighted something quite critical, quite important, which is we have to educate our locals more on how they can maximize tourism, how can they maximize the economy to work for them. No longer are we just figuring it out when the tourists touch down, but eons ahead, before they even come here, what do they want to do? So it's not only just about understanding your industry and how to relate to your potential client, but it's how are you reaching out to them? And how are you able to tie in your industry to the environment, to the economy? Because that matters.
And you hit on something so important, like looking at tying our industry into the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I always love to use the phrase, how do we use tourism as a tool for conservation?
Yes.
And when we look around the world, a lot of cultures have been preserved because of tourism. Mm-hmm. A lot of key environmental ecosystems have been conserved for tourism. And so I always tell people sustainability and conservation comes when sustainable livelihoods cross economic benefit. When the local community is able to see the rightful gain from an ecosystem, they'll be more inclined to protect that ecosystem as an investment, because they know the ecosystem valuation, the economic ecosystem valuation of that ecosystem brings them their sustainable livelihood. And so again, with fly fishing, you have mangrove protection. When we look at the monuments around our country, they're preserved because we know that tourists are attracted to these type of, and also we use the tourism funds to help us take care of these type of attractions, right? So it's good to be in this space now and where it's going. I think we're going in the right direction. We have more young minds coming into the space, thinking more about how do we make tourism for the Bahamian people? How do we make tourism that protects the Bahamian people, their economy, their culture, and also the environment?
No, that this is very uplifting and inspiring. And compared to the beginning of the show, it makes me a bit more happy just to know that these are the efforts that are going on behind the scenes. You have this happening right here on New Providence, but as you said, Taran, you're also doing this on Andros, you're doing it on Eleuthera. Mm-hmm. Of course, I got to ask, when Long Island getting this?
Well, I'm open for tender. Let me know.
Well, I had mentioned that at the beginning part of the show, we also, while we want to get back to the community, got to pay bills. It's like that balance, but this is incredible information. And you talking about Ragged Island and getting down there with the challenges that we're having with transport to our southern islands. And I talk about this a lot on the Morning Blend, about the harsh realities that families are going through, not only with the lack or the key of infrastructure, it's also transport, getting down to our family islands. In order for us to have our family islands to be more self-sustaining, we have to help them make money, and we need that money to stay there so that they can support themselves.
And that's exactly true. What's another interesting thing, Dee? The big foreign corporations are noticing the same thing. They're mm-hmm. noticing that their visitors are wanting responsible tourism products.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't name the company, but they're looking at investing in locals, mm-hmm. Local businesses, because their customers are telling them that they want a tour by a local.
Mm-hmm.
They want a cooking experience by a local.
Mm-hmm.
They're telling them these things, and they're going out there and they are developing that product. And I think this is a great opportunity for both the Bahamian government and the private sector to look at venturing into these sort of sectors.
This sounds a little bit like corporate social responsibility.
CSR, here we go.
Hello,
proper
hi.
Corporate social responsibility.
Yes,
that is effective, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so,
well, you're talking about something I know a little bit something about.
Yeah. But it's so interesting how it all ties in together,
it does.
Right?
I've done some work on and some research behind CSR and what that looks like, because I know on the top of it, we think about it, how are we governing with these things in mind to have responsibility, to have that social conscience, really, while we conduct business. But we're also trying to help the rights of our people. So economic rights, social rights, our cultural rights. Being able to make a livelihood off of your culture, being able to exist and protect your environment, that those are rights. So I love how all of this blends in together. And then more persons are being more involved. I remember, I think it was closer again to about 10 years ago, when I was approached by a company asking, well, how many companies in the country deal with corporate social responsibility? Are they a part of the PACs that exist? Are they a part of the networks that the UN has in place for rights within the workplace and by those corporations? And I must say that my research came up quite dismal. So as you said, we're headed in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Every step forward is a positive thing to celebrate, but let's keep on moving.
Yeah. A poco a poco. Little by little.
Exactly.
We're getting there.
It will ripple until we can be those big waves.
Exactly. I think a lot of like-minded folks are now emerging into these sectors.
Indeed.
Shifting the paradigm.
Exactly.
Being disruptors.
Yes, indeed. And as we wrap up the show, it was quite short having you try. And of course, this isn't your formal appearance because we want, as we head into April, which is, it has many focuses because you have coastal awareness. You also have Environment Day that are coming up in April. And we're going to bring on some of the folks that are protecting our environment. So from the Perry Institute for Marine Sciences, we want to also have the Bahamas National Trust coming in. We want to have some of the foundations represented, Moore Foundation. We also want to have the I think Bahamar also has a foundation. We want to talk to the people that are making a difference in the, for the environment so that we can find out how better to help them. There happens every April that I still believe a lot of people don't know about. But again, you can join up, go to that beach and help clean up because God knows after a holiday, have you ever seen how the beaches look? Come on, let's do better, people. So final closing words, Taran, to our people listening in.
I think we are in an exciting time when it comes to tourism. I love tourism. I think that it has the potential to harness and create wonders in our country once we focus it on people, place, and planet. And also as we emerge into this new ocean space of how do we harness the ocean economy. And we're currently doing it here in the Bahamas. It's an exciting time. And as we learn to look at our country as a large ocean state, instead of a land-based state, and develop academia and also develop our economy around what we can call the blue economy. This is our time. We can carpe diem, let us seize the moment and, you know, make this country for us, by us, and develop sustainably.
I love that. Thank you so much, Taran, for joining us today and giving us that charge as we begin this brand new year. Let us continue to be the change that we want to see. We can make a difference. Every small bit counts and stay with us with the happy hour as we walk you through how we can be that positive impact on our communities. Don't forget to reach out with those good news stories this week so we can read them aloud next week. And we want you to follow us on our social pages. This is DeAndra Cartwright, and you've been listening to the happy hour here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Don't leave the station because next up we have Tell It to Stanya. You want to tell her everything because she's going to tell you everything. Stay tuned. Have a good one.
Take it.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.